From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We begin today with two people in high-profile public roles in Illinois. In a few minutes, we'll be introduced to the incoming chancellor of our flagship state school. But first, Illinois' junior U.S. Senator, Tammy Duckworth. The Democrat is in her second term in the Senate. We had a chance to speak with her earlier this week on Tuesday afternoon. Now, before we get to the tape, a peek behind the curtain here. We were supposed to be able to talk with Duckworth for as long as 20 minutes, but less than an hour before we were scheduled to speak, one of her aides told me there had been a vote scheduled in the Senate, so she would only have 15 minutes, and she would also be running late. By the time we got to speak with her, we ended up with about 9 minutes. I mention all this not to complain, but to explain why, as you're listening, if you think there's something else we should have asked her about, why didn't we get to that? I feel the same way. The producers and I came up with a list of more than a dozen questions we wanted to ask her, and we got to about 5 of them. That said, I am happy to report some of the questions came from you. Before the interview, we invited members of our texting group to submit questions to Senator Duckworth, and we used them from Aaron in Springfield, Sue in Elgin, and David in Mount Morris. And thanks to all of you who wrote in. If you want to join our texting group, you can do that by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. I'll say it again after the interview in about 10 minutes, in case you're driving or something. All right, let's get to it. Here now is our abbreviated conversation with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, again taped Tuesday afternoon. Senator Tammy Duckworth, welcome back to The 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back on. Thanks for having me.
I want to begin with the recent cut to federal funding of public media. It does directly, obviously, affect our producing station, Illinois Public Media in Urbana. What was your immediate reaction to that?
I cannot believe that my Republican colleagues voted for this. This affects public media across the country. In Urbana, I think for you guys, it's like a 20% cut, which is, you know, significant. But all across the country, Americans rely on public radio and public television. On the floor when we were debating this, I had my Republican colleagues stand up and demonize, public television shows and talk about the fact that it's not public radio that actually announces and pre-warns people of things like disasters and weather emergencies. Listen, I'm originally from DeKalb, Illinois. Let me tell you, I listen to my tornado warnings, and those come from public radio. It was absolutely mind-boggling to me that they would rubber stamp this cut, which is going to be so devastating to the local economy, but also for the general public who rely on public radio and public television for their news and, importantly, life-saving notifications.
Is there any prospect for reversing or adding new money in a future budget potentially? You know, can we make Morning Edition great again?
Well, we could do that. But remember that we did that already. And what this rescission did was the Republicans, for the first time in many, many decades, and really the first time in our nation's history in this particular way, basically went back and took what Congress put into the budget for public radio and public television and just basically cut it out. So if we put it into the next budget, they could come back and do it again. This technique that they used had only really been done to fix a wording problem in a previous bill. It had never been done to actually allow a president to basically cut out funding that Congress had originally appropriated in a bipartisan way.
You know, I've been thinking about how this might, and I've talked with other Democrats about how this might affect future negotiations with Republicans. If you can have a bipartisan spending agreement that then, a party comes back and does take backsies, right? How are you thinking about that, particularly as we are facing yet another end of fiscal year shutdown deadline in September?
Well, you put your finger right on it. I don't know that I can trust my Republican colleagues. I'm happy to enter into bipartisan negotiations all day, every day. And in fact, we just passed the defense budget. And I'm also on the Veterans Affairs Committee and the Veterans Affairs budget in a really good bipartisan way. Coming out of the Senate, I think the bill, you know, it could be, you always think it could be better, but there's really good things in there, good things in there for Illinois. And we agreed to it and we voted on it in a bipartisan way and passed it out of committee. Now, I wonder if I vote for this and Does this mean that the Republicans are going to come back later on and basically carve the money back out and give it to Donald Trump and let him have a slush fund to do whatever he wants with at the expense of veterans and our military men and women? It does really weigh very, very heavily on my mind.
You know, this is our first chance to talk since the president signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law. We did ask members of our show's texting group if they had questions for you about this. Aaron in Springfield wonders, I'm going to paraphrase here, what are Democrats considering to limit and reverse the harms of the big ugly bill, his words, if when they regain power in Washington, especially what would they consider to prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, I mean, you know, there are parliamentary techniques that we can get into, but part of what we can do is also repeal the tax cuts for billionaires. Remember that this whole bill, the cuts to things like food security, like SNAP programs, the cut to things like education and Pell Grants for your kids who are about to go to college, the cuts for programs that support our farmers, all of that was done so that they could give people who make upwards of $400,000 a year, the very top 0.1% people, a tax break. And it adds $4 trillion to our budget, to our debt, to our national debt. This is a debt that my daughters, my grandchildren in the future, your grandchildren will have to bear. And I'm not willing to let that happen. So Democrats will look and see what we can do in the future. Again, what we need to do now is make sure that those rural hospitals, there's at least 9 in Illinois, will shut down as a result of the cuts that are in the this big, horrendous, can they call it the Big Beautiful Bill? I call it the Big Beautiful Betrayal. 93 nursing homes are potentially in danger of shutting down because of the cuts to Medicaid. 9 safety net hospitals are potentially being cut down. These are figures given to me by the Illinois Hospital Association. Over 850 grocery stores and convenience stores will face a significant drop in revenue, and some of them will shut down, creating food deserts. So we have to do some work immediately. We can't just wait for Donald Trump to leave office. We got to do some work immediately, but we're also going to do whatever we can once if we're able to flip the House and the Senate to make sure that we put this money back into the local economy to support local businesses and local families.
Well, you've alluded to some of the changes that are happening with the food stamps or SNAP program, Medicaid, and others. Well, you got another question from Sue in Elgin who asks, is now an opportunity to support guaranteed universal health care? Our policies are too often swayed by big money influencing legislators to vote for the status quo because it serves the profits of big health. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I would start off by let's go to public financing of campaigns so that we don't actually have money coming into it from outsiders. We'd have to overturn Citizens United. I have government-funded healthcare through the VA, so I've had great funding. I think that we should do a couple things to start off with. I think buy-in for Medicare buy-in for people who are 50 and older would be great. Right, that would actually bring down the age of those people who are on Medicare and actually make Medicare healthier and allow Americans to buy into it, I think would be a great thing. I think a public option on the exchange, which would still allow Americans to choose what they want to do so they're not dependent just on the government, but you can choose the public option if that's what you want. I think, you know, offering people more choices that are affordable so that they can take care of themselves and their families is the way forward. So those are two things that I would certainly support.
You mentioned your status as a veteran. David in Mount Morris wanted to ask, he says, as a retired Army veteran himself, he'd like to know what you're doing to protect VA benefits, medical and otherwise.
What to David out there in Mount Morris? one of the things that we did back in the day under the Obama administration was pass legislation that was bipartisan to provide for mandatory funding for VA healthcare. So that part is really important. The other thing that I'm doing right now in the immediate future is trying to restore people that have been cut by Donald Trump that provide necessary services to veterans and to make sure that they get their jobs back. I've introduced a bill to basically give veterans their jobs back who were cut in federal government. I'm already hearing from veterans that they're having their surgeries postponed at VA facilities because of the cuts to the VA. So many people have been fired. I was talking to my staff earlier today, and they said that an office that we're dealing with to help clear increase about VA benefits had been so significantly cut that there was only 3 people left in that office. And so we need to make sure people get back to work. And then we need to make sure that we ensure that the benefits that we put there for veterans, especially the burn pit veterans, are actually implemented and people can actually get those benefits. What we're seeing right now is the Trump administration has set as their target to fire 83,000 workers at the VA, another basically of those 30,000 by the end of this year. And it means that you may not actually get your claims at the VA processed in time in order to take care of your health conditions. And we need to fix that as well. So it's a combination of making sure that the money for the healthcare is there, but also so that people can actually get approved to access that healthcare.
I know you need to head out in just a moment here. So last question, where do Democrats go from here?
To the American people. What we need to do a better job of is going to the American people and telling them what we are going to do for them. There are some things that we need to be talking about. When you talk about healthcare, we need to strengthen the Affordable Care Act. We can't allow the Republicans to tear it down. But we should be also offering things like allowing people to buy into Medicare. I am also very, very interested in the affordable housing crisis. And not just low-income housing, but housing for middle-income families as well. I got my first home in DeKalb, Illinois, with no money down by using my my VA home loan. If you have a VA home loan approval right now, it's really hard to get somebody who will sell you their home. And we need to make that process less bureaucratic. So there are a lot of things that Democrats can do. We need to tell the American people what we are going to do for them, that we're going to fight for them, that we're fighting for them now, and then let the voters decide. They either want to vote for the people that are fighting for them or the ones on Donald Trump's camp, the Republicans, who are actually taking away things like Sesame Street.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, thank you for sharing your perspective with us on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you to everyone who wrote in with questions in our texting group. If you want to join, the number is 217-803-0730. You just send the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730.